I invite you to turn to page 3 in your bulletin, just for a moment. We heard Isabella sing the Exultet at the start, the chant when we were coming in. And there's a refrain in that chant that goes over and over again. This is the night. This is the night when you brought our fathers, the children of Israel, out of bondage in Egypt and led them through the Red Sea on dry land. This is the night when all who believe in Christ are delivered from the gloom of sin and are restored to grace and holiness of life. And on, the refrain continues. This is the night. This is the night that everything changes. No, it is not. This was the night. Something in the past. Or this will be the night. Someday far in the future, everything that has gone horribly wrong will be made wonderfully right. No, it is, this is the night, present tense. The Exultet is a hymn to the light shining in the darkness, a candle bearing one small flame in a darkened church, the celebration of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, returning, resurrected. Is it not fitting that the one who was humbly born in a stable with a manger for his bed would just as quietly rise from a garden tomb in the middle of the night? We don't come back into the church after Good Friday and Holy Saturday with a lot of fanfare. In fact, the organ is kept silent from Monday, Thursday until we just turn it back on again for the Gloria. But we come back in following a tiny flame. And when I moved to Iowa about 10 years ago, I heard that there were some Cistercian monks at a place called New Millery Abbey. It's about 20 minutes from here. And I heard that they celebrated this service at 3 a.m. And I thought that was pretty cool. And so I decided to go once. And it was an adventure. And we did all the things that we're doing here, except remember that it's 3 a.m. and they're in the middle of the country. There are no street lights. There's no ambient light shining through the windows of the monastery. There was no electric lights on in the monastery. And we came in following the Paschal candle. And we're going down these long corridors, and I'm like, wow, this is so beautiful, this is wonderful, I can see that light ahead of me. And I dawdled a bit. And that candle, it took a left. And I could not see anything at that point. I did the cliche, I actually held my hand up in front of my face, and I couldn't see my hand. And for a moment, I thought, okay, I'm just gonna keep walking. I know the general direction. I started to put my hands out to see if I could feel a wall. And then all of a sudden, I came to that turn, and I could see it in the distance. I did not dawdle anymore. I kept right there. It was with a sigh of relief when I saw that light again. It was very much like our lives sometimes, when all we can see is that faint light in the distance, leading us on. Something else, though, happens tonight, and I hope you took a moment and looked around, because it was beautiful from up here, everyone with their little candles. That tradition has been going on in the church at least from the 3rd century, most likely earlier than that, where the light from the one is then spread among the many through the little candles. And each one of you became a point of light. Each one of you became a bearer of Christ's light in your unique lives, wherever you are. All of our readings from the Old Testament that we've heard to this night. And from the first, let there be light in the creation story. And then the pillar of cloud and fire that led the Israelites from freedom into, from slavery into freedom. And then the breath of resurrection light that is brought back into the rise of Ezekiel. And countless more stories from the Old Testament. That light is this light. That light is this light. This is the night. It's not light that was back then or light that will be in the future. It is the light of the world right here, right now. That moment when the light returned to the world, when Jesus was resurrected, was ground zero for transformation. Imagine past, present, and future. All that was, all that will be. And from the smallest atomic level to the farthest galaxy in all creation, something just went out from that moment when he took his breath. This is the night that changes everything. God came to share our human life. From humble birth, and grew in wisdom and stature, learned a trade, experienced family and community and friends, and then embarked on a mission to share the good news of God's love and forgiveness. But there was one final thing that he had to do to truly join us. For God's love to offer creation any concrete hope, not only did sin have to be dealt with, but that final ancient enemy had to be faced, and not just faced, destroyed. Death. Jesus isn't just sympathetic to our plight because he experienced it. He's not just empathetic by taking it on in solidarity. Jesus took all of the love that he has for us, all of his life and light, all of who God is, and he shone it in the darkness of death. And as we saw, what happens when you take one small candle flame of light into a dark room? Let there be light. Now, after Jesus died, tradition tells us that he was not resting, he was busy. He was harrowing hell. And light and love didn't just fill this world, but burst the doors of death, and light and love released the captives of all times and all places and brought them into eternal life. And we share in that eternal life ourselves. As Paul reminds us in the passage we heard, we are baptized into Christ. And we are not only baptized into his death. Now imagine, back in the early days, it was a full immersion experience. So you're baptized and you're put under the water, burial, and then you are risen out of the water, resurrection. So not only are we baptized in Jesus' death, we are baptized into his life as well. Our baptism crosses us over like the Israelites crosses the Red Sea from death into life. And little Dolly has been raised to this new life in Christ with her baptism tonight. Yay! Now, all of this might sound beautiful and cosmic, and some of you are probably going, what do we do tomorrow? How do we live this life of resurrection? By God's grace. Faith in the resurrection is something God gives us. It's not something we can muster, grit our teeth, and say, yes. I don't have that kind of strength day after day. Seeing what I see day after day. Faith is not something I have to figure out myself. It is a gift just like hope and love are God's gifts to us. So I'm going to offer you three things, three simple, maybe not so simple, but three simple things that might help to live this night in the rest of your life. I encourage you to look at God and not yourself. Look at God, not yourself. Make seeking Christ a priority. Set aside time. Be intentional. Whatever that might look like. But don't look to yourself to try to drum this faith up. Look to God and say, I'm ready. I'm seeking you. That's the first thing. The second thing is look for the light of Christ around you every day. Where do you see love and peace and joy and kindness and hope and goodness? No matter how small, it may just be in a little baby smile. Pay attention to that. Follow that. Let that light expand in your life. And then the third thing, commit to Christian community. We can't do this life on our own. It's too hard. We need others. And just like each of you had that little light, you can shine that light for someone else whose candle has gone out. You can be that pinpoint of light that is helping them make it through the day. That's what Christian community can be for us. And may we be the kind of community that shines the light of Christ for Dolly as she grows up. This is the night when everything changes. Anything is possible. This is the night Christ is risen. Alleluia. I'm going to do that one more time. Christ is risen. Alleluia.